Well, over the last few days, I've been informed about a terrific little business called studyandplayusa.com.au. Why college is the question. And so often on the first serve, we've talked about the benefits of going across and playing college tennis. In fact, we had JP Smith on the first serve a little bit earlier tonight, who spent 4 years. I was working down at qualifying today with Bojana Babusic, who's also been across and played, of course, college tennis in the States, which has been extremely beneficial. Chris and Alexia Bates are in the studio tonight, down from beautiful Brisbane. Not sure if they've been to see the Brisbane Heat play at the Gabba, but they, of course, are behind Study and Play USA. And obviously, there's a tennis flavour at the moment. That's why they're in town. But great to see you, Chris and Alexia. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Have you been across to see the Heat at the Gabba? It's probably a good night out to go and see the Heat this summer.
It is a perfect weather for cricket, and we have been, actually. We took the family out and had a look, and they are in devastating form, as you said.
Led by Brendan McCallum. Brisbane's always been home.
Brisbane's always been home for us, yeah, born and bred, both of us. And so we're happy to, any time we get a chance to come into state, we're happy to be here. So,
well, the sporting capital of the world down here, Chris.
We can't argue with that.
The world. We're slightly biased. Tell us a bit about Study and Play USA.
Study and Play USA is, I suppose, it's our baby. It's a program that we provide for Aussie kids largely, and trying to facilitate that process of obviously finding the right fit for them over in the USA, whether it's tennis or other sports as well.
Because you went and spent some time yourself in
college. I sure did. Yeah, I was lucky enough to get a scholarship to go to Oklahoma State University many years ago now. And I went over there for tennis, and that experience has definitely inspired, this business, that's for sure.
So the experts say going to college in the USA is as much about developing strong character traits such as resilience, confidence, independence, as it is about studying and also competing. So this is an all-round sort of life experience, isn't it? Because you mightn't necessarily get to the absolute pinnacle as far as sport is concerned, but there's the academic element and then there's just the development of you as a person.
Definitely. And I suppose with my educational sort of background, I was a teacher there at one stage, and I suppose the educational side of it is really important to us, making sure that the student athletes get their right fit academically as much as they do the sport.
So what sort of numbers are we talking, guys? Of young Australians who are taking this sort of course, if you like, this little path?
Look, certainly we've seen a huge growth in the last 18 months even. You're looking at, I would say, hundreds per year from Australia going over. And we're lucky enough to be, helping a large chunk of those.
Okay, so tell us sort of the role that you play, Alexia, in trying to facilitate young Aussies to go across. What sort of process is involved, if you like?
It can be quite a long process, starting from as early as grade 10. There's an academic eligibility, that you need to look at, as well as the athletic eligibility, and they're both equally as important. So that sort of advice and dealing with families can start at a really early age in high school, just so that they can keep that pathway open should they decide, to choose it. But we, the process works through both with their high school results, and getting that academic eligibility right, but then working with the families to find out exactly why they want to go to college. What is their goal of college? Because everyone's different. So some student athletes use this as a platform for their professional career, no matter what sport. Whereas we have other students who happen to be really good at sport, don't necessarily want to become professional, but are using this as a really great life opportunity. So it's about finding why they want to go, and then from there working with them to find them that right fit.
So how does the sort of conversation start? And what sort of age are we talking? You mentioned sort of what, grade 10 or year 10, I think as we call it, down here in Melbourne. So we're talking around about what, 16... 15, 16, the conversation starts. How does it sort of transpire? And obviously, the parents at that stage of someone's life are fairly heavily involved in the decision-making.
Absolutely. We always are meeting with students and their parents. That's very important because naturally parents have very different questions about this pathway than the students. But it can start as early as, you know, grade eight, to be honest, once they're looking at subject selection. And there's some tips and advice that they can get to, you know, keep that door open without having, you know, to decide upon it right then and there. But normally around grade 10 and 11, it's when families are starting to think about what's happening after school, you know, and to start planning for that.
Okay. So obviously they could be, Chris, you know, quite sort of settled here in Australia academically. And obviously, you know, we have such a great, you know, choice. We're spoiled for choice when it comes to playing sport in this country. So how then do you sort of paint the picture of, you know, life in the US and you know, getting outside of your comfort zone, if you like, and going and, you know, and actually trying it?
Yeah, look, you're right. There's nothing wrong with staying in Australia and studying here. Absolutely. We live in a very, very lucky country. So we certainly don't try to sell them on going over. We really do, as you said, paint a picture. And the best way to do that is, I guess, asking them questions and finding out what makes them tick and finding out what is driving them towards it. And then providing, obviously, the facts and figures behind it all. But I think, yeah, drawing on certainly my own experience partly, but largely of the other student athletes that have been and gone, and what's the process and what the experience has been able to do for them, not just for their sport and academics, it's beyond as well. A lot of people think of those 4 years, but it's the networks and confidence and all those intangibles that are also really appealing, we're finding.
And how long does that process take once, you know, you've got a young person and their family in agreeance? How long does it take to actually see them actually get over there and get settled? And is it easy to get into the system over in the States?
It's getting easier. The reason for that is Australians are a fairly safe recruit, I suppose, for a college coach. We're English speaking. We're from a culture that understands, I think, America reasonably well. We've been exposed to, you know, their culture pretty well all of our lives. So they understand us. We tend to understand them, and most Australians have a pretty good fit. There's good relationships between Aussies and Americans. So, but yeah, the process varies. It can be really simple for some, and it can be the process can be delayed for some in just making sure you really dot all your I's and cross all your T's to get the right fit.
What's sort of the average span, Lexi? I mean, if one goes over, how long are they on average sort of spending in the college system over in the States?
Well, we would work with them for up to potentially 3 years before they make their choice.
Yep.
But we are finding that probably about 80% of our student athletes are staying the full 4 years. And also there are possibilities for that 1 year working visa that they get, you know, after once they graduate from a 4 year college. So we're finding a lot are taking that opportunity as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And in terms of the financial setup, how does that all work to, you know, go from Australia across to the US? How does that work from a financial point of view?
Look, scholarships are phenomenal if you can get them.
Yeah.
And certainly they range from a full scholarship, which really does cover everything from tuition fees, books, your travel, your gear, you know, your health, your everything that you need to be able to study and play. And you really, the investment is your flights and you know, maybe some spending money for the families, which is very minimal. And so they're worth up to, you know, they can be up worth up to $400,000 and $450,000 across 4 years,
yeah,
which is phenomenal.
Yep.
But so it's just working with the families and their budgets too. And depends on the level of the athlete as well. Generally, the better they are, the more options there are to find their financial fit as well.
Absolutely. Chris and Alexia Bates with me in the studio tonight. studyandplayusa.com.au if you want to jump on and have a chat to us, 9429 1116, or you can send us a text, 0433 98 1116. You might have a good example. You might be a parent or a young student out there who's been and experienced this, and you can share this with other listeners, 9429 1116. After the break, I want to touch on the tennis angle as well, because you are in town doing a few things, Chris, around the Australian Open.
Yes, we are. We've been invited down here, very, very privileged to be invited down by Yvonne Goolongong and her foundation, and she has asked us to come and present some information to her national camp, which she holds down here in Melbourne leading up to the Aussie Open every year. So we're delighted to be able to provide information about this pathway for her players, because it aligns perfectly with what you know, Yvonne and her team are trying to do, which is provide healthy pathways and yep. educational pathways.
Yeah, she's been quite amazing for tennis. I think her speech at the Newcombe Medal back in November was outstanding, just about, you know, creating those opportunities. And she's done obviously a lot of work in the Indigenous area as well, which is very close to her heart. 19 past 8, we'll be back with more right after this. StudyandPlayUSA.com.au. Check it out. More of Chris and Alexia coming up. Good 22 minutes after 8, Chris and Alexia Bates in the studio, all the way down from Brisbane, beautiful sunny Brisbane, where I can tell you the scorches and the Big Bash, 2-58 against the Heat tonight. Log on, StudyandPlayUSA.com.au. Why college? Well, that might help you answer the question. We're going to talk a bit of tennis in a moment, but Richard's called in from Brighton. You can do the same, 9429 1116. Hi, Richard.
How you going, Brett?
Going well, thank you.
Well, look, I just thought I'd ring out. It's fantastic to hear Chris and Alexi talk. I'm a teacher and sports coach at a school down in Brighton, and we've got two boys currently in the US, both rowing, and it's been the most fantastic opportunity for them. So I just really encourage other parents who've got boys and girls who are playing sport to really consider their options in the States.
There you go. And look, obviously there's a lot that we probably don't even know about, and we'd love you to share your stories tonight. Good on you, Richard. In fact, one on the SMS, how popular are field hockey scholarships? Are they available?
They are, for females only.
Okay.
Yes. Not a lot of programs offer field hockey, but those that you know, do get an opportunity, the level's very good, but the depth isn't... you know, massive like some of the other traditional American sports. But yes, it is available to women.
Okay, 0433981116 if you've got any more queries on the SMS. Now, from a tennis flavour, Universal Tennis Ratings, that's the other sort of component of what you do, an extension of course, Study and Play USA. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, Universal Tennis Ratings is a very new concept down here in Australia. We established UTR events, or Universal Tennis Rating Events Australia, in partnership with the inventors of this rating system okay. out of the US.
Yep.
And what it is, it's a universal rating system. So every player in the world is on the same scale, whether it's Roger and Serena, right down to, you know, our 7-year-old son.
Mm.
Anyone can get a rating, and it's just a very, very healthy way of approaching tennis, we believe.
Okay, so you're down here for the next couple of days. Tell us an event you're running.
Yes, so since we're down here, we wanted to pioneer this event in Victoria. We've been to Western Australia and obviously up in Queensland and New South Wales have really taken to the concept. So we wanted to bring it to Victoria for the first time. And so at MCC, Glen Iris have been... you know, good enough to host a tournament starting tomorrow and
yeah,
going
great
into
club.
Friday.
I was out there a few weeks ago for the Victorian Premier League. Nice yeah. little setting there.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. And so it's a very, very busy time of the year. There's lots of tournaments going on at the moment. So we do have some players that have put their hand up and they want to try this new format and see if they can increase their universal tennis rating.
Okay, so that certainly, Alexi, can really give them a bit of an edge because prior to, in terms of recruiting of Australians to US college, that had been fairly subjective?
Absolutely. There are, you know, hundreds of different rating systems,
yep.
tennis rating systems throughout the world. So to expect a college... coach to understand every single rating system, it's very difficult. So our job was to try and translate an Australian tennis player's level to a US college coach. And since, you know, the Universal Tennis Rating has come in, it's one of the biggest recruiting tools that they now use, you know, US college coaches, in conjunction with some other tools, but it's the main one that they're using. And it's just, they understand it. And the best way to compare it to something that we know is like a golf handicap. So you could be in Sweden, you're in Australia and New Zealand, and your handicap, everyone understands what that means. And that's the same thing with the Universal Tennis Rating. That's their ultimate goal.
Okay, so I suppose just to break it down for those who might be driving around, is it a 16-level scale? Can you just sort of break it down how it will work?
Yeah, it's the fast-forwarded version is that it's a 1 to 16.5 level scale.
Right.
So your Djokovic's of the world up in the high 16s, mid-16s, and they work their way down. You've got an average male college player perhaps might be anywhere between 10 to 14.5 on the male side and anywhere from 5 or 6 right up to 12 on the women's side. You got Serena Williams is in and around 12 or 13. We've even got Justin Bieber who comes in at 4.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah,
I've never seen a tennis racket in his hand.
No, neither have I, but that's allegedly true.
Okay. I mean, anyone that I've had on the first serve who's gone to play college tennis just speaks that highly of it. And I know my co-host, Paul Aiken, on the first serve is a massive advocate of young players really looking at this to set themselves up. So we had JP Smith on the show earlier, who's been a little bit of a late bloomer, and it's only his fifth year on the tour as such, playing Futures Challenges now to the ATP Tour, and he's 27. But he spent those years, 17, 18, all the way through to about 22, rather than maybe come onto the ATP Tour at 17, 18. And some can make that instant transition. What are the benefits that you've seen, Chris, from a tennis perspective, how beneficial it is to go and spend that 3 or 4 years in the United States?
Oh, look, you're talking to someone who didn't manage to make it, I suppose, as a tennis player, but wanted to. Mm. And I saw the US pathway as absolutely giving me the best chance of doing that. And having been there, done that, and did my 4 years, I strongly recommend that. I think it's as good as any other pathway. But I think the main benefits is that you're buying yourself time. And I think these days you're not in a rush to make it. So, statistically at least, you've got, assuming you finish high school, you've got about 10 years statistically to have a chance of being inside that top 100. Why not spend 4 of those 10 years at college getting your life set up beyond tennis with a degree?
That's a good point. I mean, the average age, I think, of the top 100 right now is, 28? So go across, also have a bit of a backup plan because, there's a lot of players who get to, about 25, 26, who are maybe stuck down in the 400 or 500s in the rankings, and they put all their eggs into one basket with tennis and walk out with not a lot of prize money. We know it's pretty tough at that end of the tour. And I know, certainly talking to Bojana Babusic down at Melbourne Park today, who's been able to have a degree. She went out of tennis with a back injury, 2 years ago in her mid-20s, but she's been able to have the benefit of having that degree, having spent some time over in the States.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. We take our hat off to anyone who can do it the other way and not go to college and make it. It's incredible achievement. It is a shame to see so many good players are in that threshold between 200 and 500 have been at it for a long time and without that qualification behind them.
Yep. Let's touch a little bit more on Ivan Goolagong-Cooley, absolute legend. We sort of just touched on it very briefly just before the break, what you're doing down here over the next few days, linking in with one of the greats of Australian tennis.
Yeah, absolutely. We are so excited, to be a part of it. It's working with her foundation at their national camp that they have every year, and talking to them about the US college pathway, letting them know that there is that option there for them, so providing them another pathway. And that's something that Yvonne and Roger do very well. They have so many of their scholarships holders who finish high school and then are at university, furthering their education. So to be able to offer them that other pathway as well as continuing their tennis is really exciting to us. And it's sort of just a really natural collaboration that we have, so it's fantastic.
So that'll take place, where's that happening?
That's happening at Monash University on Sunday. So we have about 30 of her students from all across, or scholarship holders from all across Australia, that are sort of come to Melbourne at this time of year for her national camp.
Great stuff. And I also want to just touch on a good little story out of East Timor. And you guys can explain this. And last week on the first serve, I chatted to a great guy from Barbados, Darian King, who's the only man that ranked from Barbados. And his mission is simply to put tennis on the map in that country where they're not really into tennis. You know, cricket's been the major sport, of course, soccer as well, not many tennis courts. And he's on a mission not only to make the best of his own career, he's just outside the top 100, but also to inspire others. And I can't think of any player that's come from East Timor, Chris, but tell us about this young girl that you're helping maybe just create it and realise a dream.
Yeah, well, look, we were approached by another coach in Queensland who was coaching this young girl from East Timor, and she was looking for, you know, tertiary options, but she did want to continue her tennis. So she's a very, very good tennis player. She was going pretty well in the ITF rankings as a junior, and it became a bit of a no-brainer for her that she wanted to study political science, and she knew she... Really, our system, you know, didn't support, I guess, doing both.
Yeah.
And so she felt the best chance for her to study and keep playing was going over to college. So from the minute she got to college, the coach called us up and said, thank you. She is an absolute star, a leader, but, you know, just an incredibly good person. And, so she's been such a success on and off court for them.
So Kerry Galhos is her name. Correct. Who arrived in Australia from East Timor in 2009. Has it inspired any other young males or females in East Timor to possibly go down this track?
Not that we're aware of, but tennis is growing in that area, and there are a number of Australian coaches that have managed to go up there and run some clinics. And I suppose a bit of a shout out, I suppose, to Jed Rapkins and James Rapkins.
Yep.
And their family who established a really good contact up there. And being able to help those kids, and then obviously Kerry's come out of that.
So. Guys, is there one or two stories that sort of come to mind? I mean, obviously there's a lot of satisfaction in what you do, and you guide the fortunes of young people who go on a bit of a life adventure. Is there one or two that maybe sort of stand out that you think, what a great story?
Oh, look, there is one, and this is a guy who. I was lucky enough to teach in the classroom as
yep.
well when I was a teacher and coach. He was, you know, safe to say he didn't handle school too well academically and had some troubles with his academics initially. When he first got an opportunity to go to college and start thinking about it, his academics started picking up, and it was a really achievement for him to actually finish high school the way he did.
Mm.
So he went over to what's called a junior college, which is a two-year college, which was perfect for him because he was able to get a lot of one-on-one academic support, and he just thrived, and his tennis went through the roof. And he, 2 years later, he was transferring to Mississippi State University and, a strong Division I program, graduated with flying colours, and now back as a qualified teacher. So... came full circle, and it was just really, really good to see him go through that whole phase from a 12-year-old right now to a grown man. So,
yeah, good story. Good story. Alexi, what's the best part of what you guys do? What do you get the most sort of satisfaction out of?
I do love getting the updates once they're there from the student athletes themselves. But to me, it's that cap and gown moment. It's where the parents are flying over for the graduation, and we're getting that photo through at the end of such an amazing journey. I always joke that Chris says the best time of his life was meeting me and having our son, but I know that it's college. I know seeing these families having this cap and gown moment and thinking what they've experienced over those 4 years, to me it gives me goosebumps. It's why we do what we do.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, lovely for you to come in. You've got a big few days. Are you going to take in any of the tennis at the Australian Open?
We are actually. We're going to see the first day and
nice.
And night, and then head back up to sunny Brisbane.
It'll be about 31 on Monday. No
yes.
rain, which is always a good thing. And Melbourne Park looking totally different to, I'm sure, what you might have seen in the past. Of course, Chris and Alexia Bates in the studio with me tonight. Log on www.studyandplayusa.com.au. Take a look for yourself, and If you've been kicking back listening tonight and you've got any questions, so you'll be able to access the guys through this website. Thank you for coming in. Enjoy Melbourne.
Thanks very much
for having us.
Chris and Alexia Bates. We'll take a break at 24 to 9 on evenings. 3 for 85 are the Scorchers at the moment. Shaun Marsh out for 8. Whiteman for 12. Bell for 14. It's Michael Klinger doing a nice job at the top of the order. He's unbeaten on 39.